Check, check. All right, so we're going to open the work session in the October 17th town board meeting with a discussion on parks and rec budget transfer expenses and programs. This was originally on the agenda a couple weeks ago, but we moved it. Tony wasn't able to speak about it, and neither was Al.
Do we want to wait for Al? Because he'll talk about the project and what it entails, and then I can explain the financial end of it.
We could. Well, why don't you start it?
Okay.
I'll grab him.
So basically, with the driveway being all ripped up in the turnaround spot in front of the spray park, and then the dip in the front of the park always being wet, one of the things Al addressed is, you know, we're going to have a crew come in and fix the turnaround and fix the driveway where they cut across it for the drainage. Well, we got a crew in there. I mentioned to him about something about where the front of the park, where it's always wet, we can't properly maintain it. It's constantly wet. Right now it's flooding because the water is not flowing out of it properly. So we got a crew in there. Al said, if you can come up with so many dollar amount, we can get them to fix that. And what they're looking to do is take the plastic pipe out of there, paper it, stone it, and get proper drainage in the front of the park, and hopefully dry it out. So,
take a plastic pipe out of where?
Out of the there's a plastic pipe that runs from the one end of the drain to wherever the water flows out of the park. And Al said that drain shouldn't be there. It needs to be cleaned up. It needs to be
fixed.
Should
not do that.
Right. He can probably explain more in detail of what needs to be done. What I came up and said, look at, I got X amount of money from Spray Park budgeted for salaries that we're not using, that I could probably, with board approval, allocate some of that money there. In another account, I have general park maintenance money in there that I could allocate, because it utilizes all the park. If I need anything, dirt, topsoil, stone, I can go to this account and do that. So if I take from those two accounts, I can get him the amount needed to fix the drainage and fix the turnaround in front of the spray park.
Now, the projects, though, that we budgeted for in the Parks Department,
we used them. So this is putting money in that project's account so that we can do further more work.
What was the money originally allocated for?
The money was allocated, like I said, was for spray park salaries.
Right.
And the other one was my maintenance account for overall parks. Like if I need fuel, if I need dirt, if I need stone supplies throughout the year, I can go to that maintenance account and just get my supplies. So I'm taking from that account and putting it in the project account.
So the $8,000 is because you had money left over from the
salaries.
Park, right?
Yep.
$5,000 is all those other projects,
right, right?
That you just didn't need to spend that money this
right.
year. So
okay.
we can take That's it out of 2020's budget too, right? The $5,000.
No. But I did trim that. No, I did trim. I did trim that number back.
Tony, I'm just ribbing you. I think this is commendable that you've got money saved, and then. And I just wanted to be clear, because I spoke to Al about this. This $13,000 fix to drainage had nothing to do with the spray
no.
park. This is a long-term problem that we're fixing, and it's just coincidental or appropriate that we be able to fix it now.
And I agree with Al. Well, we got a crew in there, and it's the crew that was fixing the drainage and was put the new drain into that area. They're familiar with the park already, and they said that they could do it while they were in there.
Is this going to be just an extension of their bid contract for the spray park?
No, this would just be a separate county bid item. We about a day and a half for the estimation of the stone placement is what we estimate, and we got about a half. You know, it's a day rate contract. We'll just box out to repair the asphalt in front of the splash pad, and then Tony and his crew will place the asphalt there.
Yeah.
We'll get either contact caller to bring it in, or one of Jerry's guys to pick up a couple tons for us so we can break it out.
So I'm trying to picture the, I mean, I know that up near the road and that whole field up there gets flooded. Is that the field?
The big swell.
Right up to the road.
Right, not no, right up to the road.
Around those
trees.
There's
a culvert inlet. Yeah, there's, no.
So as you, it's a swell on your left side.
As you drive into the park, that big depressed ditch area. In there is pretty wet all year round.
And quite frankly, it's at groundwater elevation during wet weather periods.
Right, so that's why it gets hairy down in there.
Because it's at groundwater elevation and sloppy wet, and it's hard to even get in there to mow it with the, or knock out down the weeds with the weed eater without sinking a bucket.
We've gotten the zero turn stuck a couple times this season with it.
So this will fix it? I mean, that's
well,
you know, what it'll do is it'll keep them from having to go down to the area that's below or at groundwater table elevation.
I mean, could you make the argument? I'm only doing this to just leave it alone. We've lived with it for this long.
We could.
We can. I mean, is it aesthetically pleasing during wet weather periods of the year? No. Yeah. Is it a pain in the butt from a maintenance standpoint for
yes.
the parks staff?
I mean, I don't want to speak for the gentleman to my left, but Bob can relate to this in Onondaga Lake Park. There are areas you can't mow in the spring along the trail, right? Because it's wet. I'm not saying not to do this.
It's gonna be fabric and riprap.
Yep,
and stone.
All right. So my experience, and again, playing devil's advocate, fabric and riprap can get messy. And if you look at the Sergei Yevich trail in the village, it's tough to once it gets weedy. You either have to spray it with a weed killer, or you got to go break some ankles and walk along the cobbles and pull the.
My staff is well aware.
We already spray the walking path for weed control on an annual basis, so we would add this into the mix on that.
All right.
Makes sense.
So with all the rain.
While we're in there and we have a crew in there, I just brought it to Al's attention to, like, that drainage area has been kind of a sore spot, and if there's any way of fixing it, and he mentioned to me he could do it. It's just going to take some funding, and if I had money, and that's why I'm kind of here to say I do have some money that I could throw there, but we just had to reallocate it to that. And why they're in there to do it and get it done with, hopefully it fixes the problem.
You know, I was going to ask you this question about the 2020 budget, but I'll ask it for this, and Kate, in the sense if we've got money here, let's sit in here, do we want to save it or spend it on some good stuff? I was concerned in your 20, I don't want to talk about it now, we'll talk about it when your budget presentation happens, but in the 2020 budget you only had $1,000 in for tree replacement. And I'm just wondering, what did you do in 2019 for tree replacement dollar-wise?
We didn't spend $1,000. We basically planted two trees, one for the Arbor Day project, and we replaced the dead tree.
Okay. So I got I don't know if I want to argue against spending this on the drainage stuff, but I am concerned that we're not. I thought we said we were going to spend up to $10,000 a year on tree replacement. Maybe my number is wrong. Do you guys remember? But we were going to do a serious, regular tree replacement program, because what hasn't changed in your park, Tony, is the white ash trees are right. Still there, and they're going to die, every single one of them. Wherever you look, where there's a white ash, it's going to be dead.
In the next few years.
And I wanted to spend several thousand dollars, if not $10,000 a year on tree replacement. I mean, a serious effort to make sure that the next 10 to 15 to 30 years, there's not a desert out there.
Right.
I'm sure Tony will be more than willing to spend that money.
But should we spend this?
I know one of the things that Al sent me to was the DEC tree grant thing this last month. And, you know, I know that's one of the things on his radar, and his plate is very full. And
we missed it last year, didn't we?
We missed it last year.
No, we got denied. We applied.
Two years ago we got denied.
But Al has brought it back and said, look, go to this and see where we messed up. We know where we need to, what we need to do. It's just, it's a process. It's some work to put that grant together.
When's it due by?
They're accepting applications now.
And how much money would you get out of that?
Depends on what we put in. I mean, what can we ask
for?
We
have to do one of the reasons we got dinged was we didn't request money for a comprehensive tree study. by an arborist. We actually lost points in the grants for that. An ash tree is an ash tree. We can identify an ash tree, and you know, we were going to try to handle the house, and we actually lost points for that. So that's one. That's the first step that you have to have an arborist come in and do a tree survey or do your facility. From there, once you have the tree, the management plan per se in place, you can request money for additional funding for tree replacement.
How much money?
I believe each municipality max reward is $50,000 annually.
That would take care of our problems.
Absolutely. I mean, we went right for the gusto asking for tree money, and the proper procedure apparently is to ask for the study and management plan to be prepared. And then once you have that in place, ask for tree money.
Well, I forwarded to the board an opportunity to work with, was it Cornell or ESF? It was Cornell. They're planning.
I like it.
Their College of Planning or Engineering with the planning division.
Yeah, that grant's more an emphasis on planning. I don't know if they.
Well, so what I would propose is that, you know, our park is getting to the point where, you know, over 10,000 people a year are using our park. We have a brand new amenity. And I think it always helps to have an outside agency come in and take a look at your resources and make recommendations. I think we should allocate money for trees, but we should reach out to Cornell and see if we can put an application together to have their planners come in and look at our park as a whole. Look at the tree species, do an inventory, look at the layout of the park, take your old parks plan, have them look at that and see what's changed over the last 25 years. And once you have a plan like that, then there's grants that you can say, here's a study done by Cornell in order for us to get to where we want to get to. We're applying for this grant.
But isn't opens the what doors. You're saying in this grant application asking us to do just that, Al?
They're willing to pay for arborists. Right. See, I don't know if the planning school at Cornell has arborists on staff. Right. So what this grant will do is pay for an arborist to come in and do a tree survey, come up with a management plan. From there, we can take that management plan and apply for funding next year for tree planting.
Right. You're probably getting an ESF student to do it for free.
Well, I don't know if you will.
Well, we went down that road.
If we're going to have to pay, and this is getting awfully complicated, if we're going to have to pay for a study, I would want it to be RFP'd to both the ESF as well as Cornell. I mean, ESF is our local school. They're in our community. But I guess I'm kind of upset because this is the seventh year I've been on the board, and I've been asking for a tree plan for 7 years. And we didn't spend any money in 2019. If we pass this budget for 2020 and we don't change it, because I don't want to add money to the budget, all we're talking about is $1,000. I'll support 13 on drainage if you can convince me that that's more important than spending $8,000 on trees and buying them tomorrow to put in, because this is the perfect time of year to buy trees. I'll support this. I will, but I'm just tired of not planting trees.
So I have a different question. I'm going to run soaking that one in. I just looked at our budget, and we can go back to the budget. We're going to later. But it seems like this is a good sum of money that's surplus in your budget, which I think is great. They have surplus in your budget, but then we're going back in, and the worksheets have this amount of money back in the budget.
No.
Again.
So from 19, this line item where I'm taking $5,000 out of, mm-hmm. Is getting cut in 2020. It went from 20,000 to 18.
Okay.
In the summer program line item where I'm asking 8,000 is remaining the same for, I believe, 12,000.
Right.
And
right.
So the line item, one line item is getting reduced and another one is staying the same. So, I mean.
Right, and I don't have a problem with that.
The line item that's staying the same is because we didn't open the spray park until the middle of August.
So we're going to need those resources.
So we're going to need those resources for the full summer.
Right.
That was actually the question, or the answer to my question, because you know, if we've got you know, three-fourths of the money right here on surplus, then
so we had budgeted for a full season.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
We didn't open till...
Right, we didn't open till August, and we didn't close till September.
Yep. All right.
Well, if you think that the really the $13,000 project isn't going to solve a drainage problem, it's going to make it easier for our maintenance staff to deal with that area, is basically what you're saying. It's going to keep, it's just an area that we're not going to have to maintain. It's going to make a greater area that we're not going to have to maintain.
I would like to see us cap it and fill it and have a whole level field, but that's going to cost us more money.
It's actually set up for stormwater control, so Tony's idea of capping it and filling it as a level field is not a realistic opportunity.
So
you also wanted it.
So I'm falling back on the engineers.
So it's minimize maintenance there.
Yeah.
I mean, another option would be to actually, like Joe said, would be to create a pond to mitigate stormwater runoff, which ultimately, with future park improvements, may be something that is required. With the Nozovich property coming on board and additional parking for the fields that are going to be there, additional parking that we would like to do on the east side of our existing parking lots are all adding impervious surface. We need to account for that additional runoff and mitigate that increased flow rate. A great way to do that is through the creation of a pond or wetland.
Yeah, start the rumor mill on that again. Pond. Next thing you know, kids will be drowning every other day in there. All right, let's just do. I'm for spending the $13,000 to help. And then obviously, when we get to budget, to talk about a plan for trees in the park.
I don't want to belabor this, but did you just say, Al, that if we go and fix this for 13, we may undo it to do the pond?
Well, I mean, it depends on if we put a pond there or if we put a pond on the Nozovich property. The Nozovich property, as you know, is lower than the rest of the park, and that is where the cross culvert to the county system is. So you could go to either direction. We're going to disturb more than an acre when we do fill and parking where the Nozovich property is to create ball fields there. The logical place really to put a pond probably is closer to that existing cross culvert. This won't be helpful.
So if we do this, we won't be wasting any money.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
I have no problem with that.
All right. There's not a motion on there, so we'll have to craft one. Did you have one in your back pocket, Al?
Of course he did.
No. I can make one, though. For
well, it was had, it was on the last
one. It was
one.
On last week's.
So
I
cleaned out my...
You
got the last one?
Last week's.
I got it right here.
And the bottom one with the park attendant, the bottom one, just cross that out.
Oh, we're not doing the bottom one?
No. I'm gonna wait to make sure that if I go over an line item with park attendant, I'll just do another transfer and make sure I do it all for once. I'm not going to do it and do another one. All
right.
So I've already talked to David. He just told me wait to see what I use.
And was that it?
It was a motion that
was that it? Very vague.
Authorized budget modification. Yep.
That's not.
Well, there's a whole slew of them.
That's not it.
I didn't find it there. Or something that similar.
That was it, but. I think then we said excluding the parks.
Oh, that's right.
There was a bunch of them.
So all right, we'll just have the craft one.
Call it the craft one.
Okay. Is that
I'm fine. Ed, if there's any more questions.
What did you guys come up with for tires on the tractor?
I don't know as we come to a firm conclusion. I know
right now I got in the budget for tread tires with what a fill, the weight them.
Calcium.
Nope, the beet juice.
Pardon me?
Beet juice. it doesn't rot and it doesn't rot the tires.
Whoa. Beat jobs.
But the heavy, not the heavy tread.
That's what's in the current budget right now, yes.
Just don't those treads make divots? And don't those divots break
ankles? Our goal is not to get on there when it's super wet, but I mean, we need the traction.
Yeah, but why not have wider tires? You can.
I'm going off of two recommendations. The guy that operates the equipment that uses it says he needs the traction to get in there and dig the dirt. When he's lifting the bucket, he's spinning his tires because he's got no traction.
You got a loader on the front?
Yep. So.
You do need.
All right.
And then I'm going off of our highway guy that says, you know, that's what you're going to need. So. I'm taking those two recommendations.
Oh, and where are you driving this thing? I hate to micromanage you, but where are you driving this
just
thing?
Just the park.
I mean, I put farm treads on my Kubota. I took my industrial tires off, and it gives me all the traction in the world. And every time I drive over my grass, I put nice divots in it.
Yeah, our goal is to stay off of it, but I mean, we understand.
They roll out. I mean, that's the other thing. We do have a pull behind roller that will roll those out.
Right. If it's super wet and we're leaving that kind of divots, you know, we can roll it out. We've left big tire marks in there. You've seen.
I'd say we shouldn't micromanage.
By the big divots.
If you got a bucket on the front,
I know track, that's exactly what
you
happens.
You
got to
have traction to get into a
pile of dirt, either stone or dirt or whatever. And so right now, when he goes to dig into a pile of something, he's just spinning his tires.
The industrial. All right.
So I'm going off their recommendations. I don't operate the equipment. I just basically come and defend their argument.
Beats a shovel.
All right, Tony. Any other questions for Tony?
Thank you.
Not a problem. I'm going to take that back.
Yep. Basically, there's a budget transfer, right?
Yeah. To authorize.
We'll do that one. Do you want that one back?
What one?
The one P had.
It's right here, right? This is it?
No.
That's it.
Last week's.
Oh, no, that's not.
That doesn't help.
It's too vague. Okay. I think we need to be more specific. Which we want to authorize. So there's no district there. There's no drainage district there that's part of. Okay. Okay. Motion to authorize the budget modification request made by Tony Birkinshaw for drainage improvements in Lysander Park. Well, that's not a motion. So what we'll do is we'll make GH.
We're only adding the one?
Yeah. So far.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah, so far it's H. Okay, what I'll do in anticipation of Casey coming in tonight from the band. So I had met one of the parents at a service that I attended last week, and she was there with her son, who was in the drum corps, the Baldwin Marching Band, and she was telling me about their fundraising efforts and how that's going, and you know, obviously the band is going to the Rose Bowl this year in Pasadena in January. Huge opportunity for the kids. A lot of public outreach and a lot of fundraising, and kind of brainstormed on an idea to try to help out a little bit. I keyed in on this, and maybe it's because winter's coming, and I don't know, I paid close attention to one of their fundraising efforts, and they're raffling off raffle tickets for a 7-day cruise. There's not much time left in that raffle. I think it ends on like the 26th, but I thought that it would be nice to maybe throw out a challenge to our neighboring municipalities and see who could sell the most tickets between, let's say, Van Buren and Lysander. I've heard back from Van Buren, and they've got a lot going on over there. So Casey's going to come in today, I believe, or at least have some representatives from the band. And I thought it would be good for them to get in front of Pac B, because Pac B is usually really good about releasing this video, usually within hours of our meeting, so that the public can learn more about what's going on with the band, where they're headed, what they're trying to accomplish, and talk about their fundraising efforts. If you guys, in the meantime, want to come up with something fun that we could do as a municipality to help out, that would be great. Obviously, the marching band represents Greater Baldwinsville, and that's going to be a big stage that they're going to be on in January. So I'd love to help in any way I can, and I have with some other projects, but this could be fun as a municipality, doing what we can to help. So if you can think of anything in the meantime, you know, they'll be in the next half hour or so. Yeah, we're pushing Danforth to next week.
Yeah, couple traffic engine on the quick.
This is the light, the LED lighting conversion.
So we pretty much have a final contract, one little minor change to the schedule of values for the new lights included in the contract. They simply had those all the Radisson shoebox set aisle, the Talmore is in the Collington Point Lighting District, which has a traditional post-op light. So I asked them to put a post-op light in the schedule of values for that part of it.
I thought we talked about that when we sat with them.
We did. They didn't add that into the schedule of values, so they're adding that in.
Okay.
But we got through that today. They haven't given me a new value, but they said they'll have it to me in a day or two. So that contract is pretty much finalized. The other piece to the puzzle, per se, is a National Grid buyout. So National Grid gave us one lump sum for all our infrastructure. As you know, our infrastructure is of varying ages. I mean, we got lights in Radisson that are 40 years old. We got lights in Collington Point that are 4 years old. There's different residual values for those lights. And the Radisson shoebox fixture is a relatively expensive fixture. The traditional post-op fixtures are significantly cheaper. So I've asked National Grid to break out the buyback cost by district. Got some pushback. Hopefully they turn the corner. I've got a call scheduled with the director of the Lighting District Buyout Program with the Public Service Commission scheduled for Tuesday to see if there's any recommended guidance on that. I mean, National Grid's response was, we'll just take the number of fixtures and divide it into the lump sum cost and break it out by district that way. And I was like, that's really not, doesn't meet the way that New York State town law says you're supposed to treat special districts. So they're looking into that further. But that's the only other piece of the puzzle we have to be able to say, this is what your lighting district bill is going to happen to your lighting district bill once we approve this contract. And I do think that we should have that, be able to present that information when we approve the contract.
Sure.
So that's the only missing piece to that puzzle. But I think we'll be in a position in at our next regular scheduled meeting, the 7th, to approve that. So, I mean, other than that, it's as we anticipated. Looks like it will result in a significant savings, especially once the bond debt service is paid off. We're spending $200,000, over $200,000 a year on maintenance to National Grid. Mm-hmm. There's no way they're doing $200,000 worth of work in a year. It's just not. You could replace every bulb in the town and all 592 fixtures we have and not spend $200,000. Period. And we know we're not replacing every bulb every year. So we're not replacing every ballast every year. There aren't that many hit by cars. This is
nice.
We're getting in addition to that, we're being green, and there's like the over $30,000 a year savings just in energy savings by going to LED. So it's a no-brainer. It's just there's been a learning curve.
Complicated process.
There's been a learning curve. I mean, what National Grid said to me, everybody else just takes a lump sum. I'm like, that isn't how it's supposed to work. So hopefully they're real property people are supposed to be looking into that. So we'll hopefully we get a answer back in a timely fashion.
Well, it's interesting. Where did they come up with the lump sum in the first place?
I've asked for a
breakdown,
and we'll give that to the PSC. The PSC reviews that when they approve the purchase. Why can't we review it before it gets to that point where we're closing with the PSC? But we'll get there. We'll cross that bridge when we...
Don't look behind the curtain.
That's kind of that was their response. I mean, literally, that was their response.
Pay no attention to that man.
Yes.
that was their response. So let's just see what they come back with. And this may be we got to talk to somebody other than our local or our regional lighting coordinator. Maybe this is we got to go to the director of National Grid. Real property or something like that to get these answers, because the local lighting guy, who's a great guy, gives us great service. Whenever we have a problem, we send him an email and he's got a crew on it, usually within 48 hours and it's fixed. But I don't know, is he's really the guy that's crunching the numbers for these buyouts? My guess is he's not. He's the middleman that's our contact point and dispatches crews and somebody in the real property offices who's actually doing that work.
You know, while we're talking about this, did the question come up at all? This sounds like a good deal, but what happens if we suffer another Labor Day storm or something like that and things get demolished?
That's where our insurance
we'll add this infrastructure to our insurance plan.
Our homeowners should jump in.
Well, yeah, not homeowners per se, but yes, yes, we would add this infrastructure.
So we're not leaving ourselves stranded somewhere in this thing here. Because during the ice storm, National Grid will come out and fix it.
Absolutely. I mean, most of our lights are, the power's underground.
Right.
90% of our lights are served by underground power, or an ice storm or something like that isn't going to affect them. I guess if a windstorm happened
But we have the insurance.
We would want to add this infrastructure to our insurance policy.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right.
So, and I'll have to have Dave talk to our agent about. I mean, it's 592 lights. It can't be a significant increase in our insurance. It can't be. There's no way. This is just
All right. Well, we should be ready. Well, we don't know. I mean, we need to get that breakout.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to be able to present what the estimated cost is going to be by district. I don't see how we can not. I think we have to have that information in hand before we sign the contract with Danforth. Because once we sign the contract with Danforth, we're bound to it. I mean, that's the bottom line. We're bound to move forward with this thing.
They're still Cree lighting fixtures.
They are. The post tops are GE. So it's a new generation of Cree. Solvay has Cree lights. And this is the second generation of Cree lights, and my understanding is this new generation of Cree lights is more directable to reduce road glare. Cree is also the company, I don't know if you guys read about the manufacturing facility that they're building next to SUNY Tech in Marcy, but like a $1.5 billion manufacturing facility they're building. Cree Lighting is to manufacture these lights locally. Sweet. So as part of the nanotechnology hub at SUNY Tech. So it's a company with a local influence, or local economic partner, I guess is the way to say it.
That's great.
So
cool.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you, Al.
Do you guys have any questions on the agenda? Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Looks like we're going to have a long board meeting. Do we have anything for executive session?
No.
Okay.
No. If we did, we'd try to do that now.
Yeah.
But no, we're good.
So in terms of a subsequent board meeting next week, would you announce that in the beginning?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. You know, so tonight it's a regular board meeting, call to order, pledge allegiance, additions, deletions. Ban's going to come in and talk public hearing to override the tax levy limit, public hearing number two, amend chapter 146 for the license fees that Dina recommended, citizens comments, town board comments, supervisor comments, adoption of minutes, department head reports, regular agenda items. We got some business to do. We'll work down until we get to item H. Then at item H, we're going to try to get through all of the minor departments first, and then see how far we get. At some point, probably, if we get in to around like 9 o'clock, if we're still working, we'll probably adjourn the meeting and set another town board meeting for next Thursday. And we would do, and it would be the same layout. So we do, you know, because it's rare that we have three board meetings in a month, but I'm certain there'll be business to do. Like we mentioned, even Danforth, if for some reason we get lucky. But no doubt there'll be business to do. Mm-hmm. We'll get that out of the way, and then we'll continue working towards the budget.
And since we're doing the budget presentation in this room, are you going to let the presenter sit at like a table over there? And we're going to stay up there.
Yeah, yeah. So they can present from wherever they want.
Yeah, but they need something to lay out their papers and stuff. So I would think if we have the tables at either end, maybe since the other folks can leave, right? One of those tables could be used by the presenter. Your call, but if I was going to present something, I'd want something. I'd right. want a table in front of.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah. So the presentations, you know, if you remember last week, we allowed for, you know, we handed out 2 weeks ago the budgets, and then offered the board opportunities to. Ask their initial questions. I know Bob gave a pretty good list. He came in and we covered a lot of those. These departments, the smaller departments, should go pretty quick. I mean, there's not a lot of meat on the bone. There's not a lot of change in those department requests. Some of the requests in those departments revolve around salary increases, and we talk about salary increases in executive session. And then when we break, we make the public aware of what we've come up with, and then that gets put into a final budget to present.
We're still leaving dates available.
Now we're off that. Because when the budget came in and we went down through it and we saw how similar it was to last year, it's not like there's not a lot to this. We don't need four or five meetings. At least I don't think we do. Hopefully. I mean, we'll see. But we're just going to rifle down through the departments. So we'll end tonight with possibly hearing Highway. I want to make sure that Parks and Highway has enough time to present their budgets, because between the two of them, they're the significant portion of our budget.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, sir.